Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Gimel Amud Bet. The Gemara says over here, "Hayta gvoah mi'asrim ama uvad ma'ata," was higher than 20 amot, and he wants to reduce the inner area of the sukkah. It's 20 amot; it's too high. It's problematic. It's a sukkah psula, as we've learned until now. So either you could reduce it by lowering the roof, lowering the schach, or the other possibility is raising the floor, so you take away from the chlal, the empty space of 20 amot. So here, if he wants to reduce it by bikarim ubikasatot, he wants to reduce it by putting either pillows, blankets, items that he puts on the floor that now reduce the amount of area that's between the floor and the schach. There, lo havi miut. That doesn't work. Afagav debatlin hudogulu. Even if you are mevatel, you articulate that you're going to leave these items there for all 7 days, you're not going to take them away. For now, part and parcel of the ground because you don't care about them. That doesn't work. Bikshum, d'ptela, d'ato, etzol kol adam. We don't listen to him because this is not the normal way that people conduct themselves. Most people are not going to put their pillows and comforters on the floor and say that that reduces the airspace of the sukkah and we're going to walk on that and utilize that. It's just not the normal way people conduct themselves. And even if you say it, we're not going to listen to you. On the other hand, Tevin ubitlo avimiyut. Use straw and you're mevatel it. Again, you articulate that you're going to leave it there for the entire 7 days. That works. Choshegein afar ubitlo. Same thing is true with dirt. If you put dirt on the floor of the sukkah, fill in the base of the sukkah, and you're mevatel it, you articulate it, then for sure that is okay. Now, what happens if you do tevin? Use straw. Ve'ein atid lifnoto. You have no intent, at least for the next 7 days, to remove it. But you don't articulate the fact that you're going to leave it there for the 7 days. You simply put the straw down with the intention of leaving it there for the next 7 days. Or vafar stam. Or you just put dirt on the floor and you don't say anything about it. You just put it down to fill in the area. That is machloket Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbanan. That's a machloket that we've seen. We actually saw it together in Eruvin, based on a Mishnah in Ohalot, with reducing of airspace. The same problem that you have here by Sukkah, you have in the Mishnah and Oholot. Over there, it's a much smaller area. And Ohel is a tefach cubed. A tefach cubed gives you an Ohel, but it has implications for Tumah. If you have an Ohel, then Tumah that's found in the Ohel is contained within the Ohel. Tumah tamet, that's inside of an Ohel, it spreads throughout the Ohel, but it stays there. On the other hand, it's what's called Tumah ritzutza. Tumah ritzutza means it's Tumah, not inside of an Ohel. It has a roof on it, but it's not an Ohel. That Tumah goes up Lashamayim, it goes down to the Tahom, to the core of the earth. So that Tumah can spread anywhere because it's not an Ohel. How do they determine if the area around it is considered to be an Ohel? So they have the same problem. They have an Ohel there and then you start filling it in with materials. Does that take away the shame Ohel? Does it take away the airspace that the Tumah is considered in? We also had it in Eruvin in terms of a house. When is something considered or classified as a house or not? It was Shu'ut for Shabbat. So here, this Mishnah says, Ditznan, and as Tosafot points out, the Mishnah is not quoted exactly the way we have it in the Mishnayot, in Tarot, because the Chachamim kind of summarized what the Mishnah says, so it's in a condensed form to give us the feeling of what that Mishnah says, which is, Bayit Shimilu Tevin Otsrorot, a house in which they filled it with straw or pebbles, Ubitlo, and you are Mevatel, you articulate that you're going to leave this here permanently, mivutal. Then it's batel, and it functions to reduce the airspace there. Bitlo in, lo bitlo lo. That sounds like you have to be mivatel these items, otherwise it doesn't work. Tevin is the one that's important to us here. Tzororo, tevin, din like afar. The pebbles have the same din as the dirt. But tevin, here you have straw, and the Mishnah is indicating that straw only functions to reduce the airspace if you are mivatel, if you articulate that you're going to leave it there. V'tani Allah. And on that, we have a braita that is said, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Tevin ve'ein atid lifnoto. Straw, that you have no intent, no intention of moving. Harihu ke'afar stam. It has the same status as dirt when you have no intention about it. Ubatel, and it's batel. So Rabbi Yossi here argues on that Tanakama from the Mishnah in Ohalot, and the Tosefta, he says that that's not true. It's not only when you're Mevatel, Tevin, does it work. Tevin even works when you intend to leave it there. That's sufficient to make Tevin a reducer of the airspace. And that's similar to afar stam. That's similar to dirt that is left there without any intent. That means you don't articulate it and you don't think anything. So he says, by definition, dirt is a reducer of the airspace. That's what dirt does there. That's the natural course, that's the natural assumption about what happens to the dirt. Therefore, you don't have to say anything. You put it there, it works. Then, with tevin, he understands, listen, tevin can be used for other things. It can be used as animal feed, it can be used for other items. So I agree that you can't just put the tevin down and assume that it will be there. But, if you intend for it to be there, even though you don't articulate that, that's sufficient in order to make it a reducer of the airspace. Afar vatid lifnoto. On the other hand, if you have dirt that's there and you intend to remove it, haruk is stam tevin. That is like putting down straw without any intent. Velo batil, and it's not batel. So there are three categories here in all of these items. There's something called batel, which is that you articulate that you're going to leave it there. Then there's the next stage, which is you intend to leave it there, but you do not articulate it. And then there's the third stage, which is you put it down without saying anything. We have stam, atish, shelo lifnoto, and then you have batel. Those are the three possible stages you have. What Rabbi Yossi says is, with regards to tevin, you leave it there stam without saying anything, it's problematic. Because we don't know what you're going to do with the straw. The straw could be taken away. There's reasons to think that you might take it away and not leave it there permanently. That is not, he agrees with the chachamim, not sufficient. But if you have intent to leave it there, by straw, that's enough. As long as you intend to leave it there, you don't even have to articulate. Atid, shelo lifnoto, that's enough for straw. Of course, if you're mevatelit, and you articulate that, it's batel, and the chachamim agree then, that it works. And that was what we saw from the Mishnah. On the other hand, by afar, he says, afar stam. You just put dirt down, you have to have no intention. That afar is batel. Of course, if you don't have intent to remove it, it's batel. If you articulate, you're not going to move it, of course, it's batel. But then, even the chachamim agree, if you articulate it, that it is batel. So we see here that that's the machloket. You have three different areas, which is, if you take tevin and mevatelet, afar and mevatelet, everyone agrees it's batel. Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi. On the other hand, if you put down straw without any intent, or you put down afar with the intent to remove it, then everybody agrees it doesn't work. Now, where is your machloket? Your machloket is in the instances where either tevin, straw, where you do not intend to remove it, but you do not articulate it, afar, of course, in that same situation, by dirt in that same situation, or afar put down with no intent. In that case, all of those are machloket, Rabbi Yossi and the chachamim, as to whether it's mevatel the space, and the same will be true here by sukkah. Is that sufficient to reduce the space below the 20 amot? Now, Rashi points out something interesting here with the sugya that we just started. He says, Avir, about the sugya, Haita gvoa mesrim, it was higher than the 20 amot. He says, Piske shmuel tein, shokol b'nei yeshiva, shayu b'midrasho shurup ashi, sisidro agmara. These are the piske halacha that come out of the Beit Midrash of Rav Ashi when they were putting together the Gemara. That's what Rashi says, that the list of items here is a list of items that were in the Beit Midrash, discussed and concluded within the Beit Midrash, and now they've been put in when they put together the Gemara. So now here comes another one of them. Haitag boa mesrim ama, if it was above 20 amot, vihutzim yordim betol kaf ama, that you have shoots or parts of the schach that sit below 20 amot. You have here, instead of reducing it from the floor, you're reducing it from the ceiling. If you reduce from the ceiling, it's because the schach is not a flat surface. The schach protrudes in different directions, and there's sections where there are parts of the schach that stick below 20 amot. So they reduce the 20 amot problem. But that only works im tzilatan miruba michamatan kshera. If that which is below the 20 amot, if it was self-standing, then it would have more shade than sunlight. In that case, then it works. Because the schach above it doesn't matter. The stuff that sticks below the 20 amot is functioning as your schach. And because it's kosher schach, it works. But if that which is below the 20 amot is not thick enough to create it that the shade is greater than the sunlight, then it doesn't work because you don't have kosher schach there. As Tosafot points out, even though that schach is dependent on the pasul schach above it to hold it. Because if you took away the pasul schach on top, all the schach would fall because it's just a projectiles or pieces that are sticking below, but they are suspended by the pasul schach. Tosafot says we're not so worried about it because it's not like it's integral to that piece. Technically, you could get away to, it's thick enough that you could stand by itself if it had something else to hold it up. So we're not going to worry about the fact that the pasul schach is holding it up. So therefore, that would be kasher. But im lav, if it's not that way, psula. Now, what about the opposite case when we're dealing with the minimum shi'ur of a sukkah? What happens if you have, haitag vo'a yut tefachim? It's 10 tefachim high. V'hutzim yordim l'toch yud. And now you have these projectiles, these pieces of schach that go below the 10 tefachim. So like before, we said you have the 20 amot, and now you either reduce the 20 amot or you don't reduce the 20 amot. That was dependent on whether there was enough shade versus sunlight. So Abayi says, let us extrapolate that din to when you have the minimum shear of a sukkah, you have 10 tefachim, and now you have items that go below. Does that reduce the space? Im chamatan meruba mitzilatan. If it's true that the items that stick below the 10 tefachim space are so thin that it allows more sunlight than shade to come in, before we said it doesn't reduce it in terms of the 20 amot, so over here too, it shouldn't reduce it below the 10 tefachim. So ksheira. So Amalei Rova, Rova says, that's not a good extrapolation. Ha dira sruchahi. That is a disgusting livable space. That is a space that is uninhabitable, basically. You can't say that. This is not a problem of skach anymore. It's a technical problem. You just don't have a dira. You don't have an inhabitable space anymore. And that's irrespective of whether tzilta meruba or chamata meruba. That's not the issue. The issue simply is you no longer have space to live in. 10 tefachim is the minimum space, and you have things sticking into the space, you no longer have 10 tefachim to be in that space. And therefore, in adam dar bedira skrucha, and a person would not inhabit such a space. So because of it, there's a problem, not because of schach, kosher schach, not kosher schach. The problem here is that you don't have the minimum shiur of 10 tefachim, which has to be a clean 10 tefachim, not 10 tefachim with other items that are sticking into it. All right, next item. Haitak vo'a misri mama. More than 20 amot high. Ubana ba itzdiba. He wants to take care of the problem by building a platform inside the sukkah. He can do it in a number of ways. You have the pictures here to help you out. So if he does it, keneged dofan ha'emtza'i al pnei kula. He does it based on the middle wall across the entirety or the entire face of the sukkah. Ve'esh v'hechsher sukkah kshera. And it has in itself a hechsher sukkah, then that is kshera. So you can see that in the first picture that's shown there in the Gemara. The standard sukkah has three walls to it. One wall, and then two parallel walls. So one perpendicular wall, two parallel walls, and it's open on the fourth side. As Rashi says, their standard sukkot had nothing on the fourth side, it was open on the fourth side. So what you do is you place this platform against the back wall. Against the back wall, and it reaches from the two parallel walls from side to side. And then it extends into the sukkah towards the open wall. It extends the amount of a heksher sukkah. Heksher sukkah is a minimum of 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. So as long as it's 7 tefachim deep, and it extends across the walls of the sukkah, now you have a kosher sukkah. You've reduced the 20 amot within an area that is kosher the sukkah. But that not only affects the area that is the platform is in, it also helps you for the area that is beyond it. We'll get to that later on in the Gemara, not today, but later on in the Masechta, we'll discuss this issue that if you have an area of the sukkah that's kshera, and the schach extends beyond that area that's beyond the area that has kosher walls, but the schach extends, that area is still kasher. Because you have a kosher sukkah, it's able to extend it beyond the physical walls. So Rashi says the same thing over here. Even though the kosher sukkah that you have is only on the platform itself, nevertheless, the area beyond the platform is mukshar al-yidei, the platform area. And that all the entire sukkah is kshera in this case. Everything on the platform, plus beyond that of the platform to the end of the walls, even though in that area it's more than 20 amot deep. So that's number one rule. The second rule is, if you have minatzad, if they come out of the wall, the side, out of the parallel walls, you can see that in the second picture. Im yesh misvata itzdiba lekotel, if you have from the end of the platform to the wall where the platform is not, if the space between them is dalet amot, 4 amot, psula, then it doesn't work. Then it's okay. So as opposed to the first case where all that mattered is, since you had it from wall to wall, all that mattered was that the depth is 7 tefachim that gets you to a heksher sukkah. Here you have a separate issue, which is you need a sukkah, it needs 3 walls. So now when I put in the platform against the 2 perpendicular walls, and it does not reach the other parallel wall, I have a problem. Now I only have 2 walls to my sukkah. The itzdaba creates the kosher sukkah, an area that's less than 20 amot. Problem is that the far wall, the one that's not touching the itzdaba, that's not your third wall. How you have it be that third wall? So Gemara says that depends on how far away it is from the platform. If it's less than 4 amot away from the platform, you're okay. More than 4 amot, then you're problematic. Because, Maika Mashmalan, what's the reason? It teaches you the din of Dofen Akuma. It's called a bent wall. The bent wall is halacha leMoshe miSinai. Halacha Moshe miSinai says that a wall doesn't necessarily have to be upright. It doesn't have to be vertical. You can have a wall that is horizontal. If it's attached to a wall that is vertical, then that wall can continue in a akuma, a bent fashion. So the vertical wall can continue in a horizontal fashion up to 4 amot. And that's what we see over here. The schach that's open that over that empty area between the end of the platform and the third wall that you need, if the schach on top is less than 4 amot away from the wall, it is a continuation of the wall. And it being a continuation of the wall until it reaches the itztaba, in that curved fashion, it becomes a continuation. And basically, the sukkah starts at the edge of the platform. Now, in this case, obviously, under the schach will not be kasher, because the schach is a wall. Right? Alokha the Moshe Misinai, you can't have it be a wall and schach at the same time. If you're ready to define it as a wall, that means your sukkah starts, and only where the itztaba is going to be a kasher sukkah, because that's where the wall ended and the schach begins. So that's a principle called dofin akuma. So that's the din. We have two dinim here. One din that teaches us if the platform extends to the three walls, therefore it is in a kosher sukkah, then you just need the area of a sukkah to be kosher. 7.5 tefachim deep, and the whole width, because now you have three walls around it. If you only reach two of the walls, then as long as you're within 4 amot of the third wall, you're okay, because you have dofen akuma and it works. Now, tanina, the Gemara says, why do I need this? If it's what you just taught me here about dofen akuma is an explicit mishnah, which is, bayit shenifchat Visikech agabav, a house in which the roof collapsed. So here Rashi explains to us, he mentions this many places in Shas, that their roofs were different than our roofs. Our roofs are on an angle. They come to a point to allow the water to run off of them. In their day, you can see that still today in Israel with the Arab building, they do it more like along these lines where they have flat. The roofs are flat and they were functional. They used to put their sukkah on top of the roof there actually. And they use that for drying their fruits, doing all sorts of items up on the roof. Now, in the house, internally, you have this flat roof above you, and it collapses. Your dining room has a roof above it, and now it collapses. Guy says, great! You know what? Just in time for Sukkot, I'm gonna put schach over that little opening in the roof. We can stay in our dining room, and now I have a kosher sukkah. If you have from the wall to the place where you put the schach, dalet amot, psula. If the walls go up and then the ceiling that remains is 4 amot wide or long, depending which side you're looking at it from, then it's psula. Ha, pachot mikan, shira. What you would infer from that mishnah is that if it was less than 4 amot, it would work because dofen akuma. You basically have here on top of your ceiling, the equivalent of putting in a skylight, and instead of the skylight, you put schach. As long as the edges of the skylight where the schach is to the real walls, the vertical walls, is less than 4 amot, you're fine. Because you look at each of those areas of the roof that extend in as a dofen akuma. Now Rashi tells us over here that in the case by the roof collapsing, that it's l'chol tzad, to all directions, which means that it's in all four directions, you still have pieces of the roof there. So that's what the Gemara says here. Mahu detei mahatahum dechazi l'dofen, over there by the case in the house, that material is ra'ui to be a wall. The walls are made out of cement, and so is the roof made out of some sort of cement or plaster. So all it is an extension of the wall because you're using materials that make a ceiling that could be used for the wall. So say a dofen akuma, fine. Avalokha dolokhazi the dofen. What are you using as the condition of the vertical wall? The schach. That's not material that is ra'ui to be for the wall. You're just pretending that it is like a wall. There may be emalo. You don't say dofen akuma. Mashmalan, that's fine. That dofen akuma does not have to be physically the materials you would use for a wall. It just has to be physical material. Anything that is a solid material or creates a solid area that doesn't have empty space can be classified as a dofen akuma. And that's what the Memra just taught us here that we don't know from the Mishnah. Memra says, Haita gvoa mikafama. If the sukkah was more than 20 amot high, bana itztabab emtziata. He builds the platform in the middle of the sukkah. You basically did what you did with the sunlight, just in reverse. Instead of having the skylight, which was in the middle that the roof opened up, now in the base, you build a platform in the middle that creates a space in the middle that is less than 20 amot. If you have from that edge of the platform to the walls, arba amot l'chol ruach v'ruach, then if it has more than 4 amot, or 4 amot or more, to each one of the directions, psula, then it's problematic. It really has to be 3 of the 4 directions, because the fourth direction is an open space. We don't care. We need 3 walls. You don't need a 4th wall. If it's less than 4 amot, it works. So if the platform in the middle is less than 4 amot from the three walls, each one of the three walls is less than 4 amot, then it's kshira. Because each one of the sides, you look as a dofen akuma, and you have a kosher sukkah in the middle, similar to your dining room that had the skylight that you put the schach over. The Gemara is going to say, my kamashmalon. What is that teaching you? Again, you're just repeating for me the din that we know about the skylight. Now you're teaching me about the itzdaba. Kamash v'lon, tamrin and dofen akuma. Telling me again that we speak about dofen akuma. Hainuach. That's the exact same case as the case of the skylight in the dining room. So ma'od teima. No. Dofen akuma miruach achat tamrinon. Do we say dofen akuma from one side? Aval kol ruach v'ruach. Well, but from every direction we don't say it. Kamash v'lon. That we say dofen akuma even multiple Dfanot, akumot, we say. Not just one dofen akuma, you can have it from multiple sides. Now, according to Rashi, this is a little problematic, because Rashi before says that the bayit shenifchat, the standard case is that it's from four sides. So according to Rashi, that Mishnah already addresses the issue of it coming from multiple sides. So what do you have to say here, the chiddush is, that it's coming from multiple sides with problematic walls. Meaning that we had a chiddush before, the difference between the Mishnah and the first statement, the first member was, the Mishnah is talking about real material that would work, function as a wall. We said, no, okay, you can do it with schach material. So now we said, no, what's the chiddush here is that you can do it from multiple directions. But the Mishnah also talks about multiple directions. But there it talks about multiple directions with proper material that can be used for walls. Here we have multiple directions with schach, and that still works. So I think that's what you're going to have to explain according to Rashi. Obviously, if you believe the case of nifchat was not in all four directions, then that would be the chiddush that's brought here in the memory that you can do it from multiple directions. So we learn about dofen akuma, three dinim that are important to dofen akuma. One is, there's a concept called dofen akuma. There's such a concept called halacha l'moshe m'Sinai. Number two is that the material that creates the horizontal piece of the dofen akuma can be anything. Anything that is fills in the space does not have to be material that is ra'ui to be the wall. And number three is, you can say multiple dofenot akumot. You don't have to just say one dofen akuma, you can have a dofen akuma from all three sides, and it still works. And now, hayta chukta miyut fachim. In a case where the schach is less than 10 tefachim away from the floor, the base of the sukkah. V'chokok ba kidei lashlimah la'asara. And you dig a ditch. You dig in the sukkah to create the area that now will have 10 tefachim high. Sunken living room. Im yesh misfat chakach ulakotel gimel tefachim psula. If there's more than 3 tefachim away from the area that you dug out, if there's more than 3 tefachim from that to the wall, psula. It's no good. Pachot mishlosha tefachim, if it's less than that, then it's kshera. Then it works. And the Gemara asks the obvious question, maishna. Hatam damart pachot mi'arba amot, or maishna hocha damart pachot mishlosha tefachim. How come by the case of dofen akuma, you say that 4 amot is allowed to be how far away the itzdaba can be from the walls? And over here, when you dig a ditch, you have a sunken area inside the sukkah, you say it has to be within 3 tefachim of the walls itself. Why is there a difference? My sense, of course, you have to look at what's happening here. Hatam the ita ledofen over there that there is a wall pachod me'arba amot sagya. Here in the case of dofen akuma, you have functional walls there. A wall that is 10 tefachim high is a wall and it goes up to the rakia. It doesn't matter if it actually goes up to the rakia. A wall that is 10 tefachim high is a halachic wall, a halachic wall that rises to the heavens. So now, what you want to do is, I want to say that that wall touches my schach, that dofen akuma, 4 amot, is the halacha l'moshe m'Sinai for a dofen akuma. Because you already have a functional wall, you have a halachic wall, just a question, can I extend the wall from the vertical to the horizontal? That is a din in 4 amot. On the other hand, here, in the case where we're talking about the 10th fachim, where you don't have a wall to start with, you have a wall on the side that is less than 10 tefachim high. That is not a wall. You don't have a wall. You can't say now, oh, make it into a bent wall. What do you mean a bent wall? The wall doesn't exist. You need a halachic wall to start with to start the actual process of talking about a dofen akuma. So here to make the wall into a halachic wall, that only works if you're within 3 tefachim of the actual wall. And that's what the Gemara says here. Hachal shvuyeh dofen. Here, to make it into a wall itself, pachom ishlosha tvachim in, ilo lo. If it's less than 3 tvachim, yes. If not, not. This functions on the concept of lovut. That's known throughout the Torah. Rashi says over here, lovut is like an extension of the area. Lovut says anything that's less than 3 tvachim is as if it doesn't exist. So that's all we're saying. We're saying if your sunken area is less than 3 tvachim from the wall, then that becomes a part and parcel of the height of the wall. So it becomes a part of the height of the wall. Now I have a wall that is 10 tvachim high. I have a wall. Without that, I don't have a wall. If you're more than three tefachim away, where's your wall that you want to make into a dofen akumai, you want to do something with? There is no wall over here. You need a functional wall that's vertical before you can say there's a horizontal to the wall. And so over here, the da'at amot won't work because you don't have a wall. So you need to be within three tefachim of the wall of the sukkah in order to create the wall to start with. Right. Now, the Gemara continues. Haita gvoa mi'esrim ama. It's more than 20 amot high. Ubana ba'amud. And you build a pillar in the middle. Shugvoa asarat tefachim. It's 10 tefachim high. V'yeshbo hechsher sukkah. And it's more than 7.5 by 7.5 tefachim. So in the middle of the sukkah, they build this pillar that's 7.5 by 7.5, and it is 10 tefachim high. Now, what the Gemara is going to do here is discuss the comparison between sukkah and Shabbat, the dinim of Shabbat. That will come up a lot in our Masechta. So whenever we look at something, we have to say, okay, that's the din by Shabbat. What is the application then by sukkah? Does it have the same application? Or is the requirement by sukkah different than it is by Shabbat? What's interesting is, halachically, it might have impact on which day of the week you're speaking about. We have a principle that migo, that it's a mechitza for Shabbat, it's a mechitza for Sukkah. That's only true if it's Shabbat. So on Shabbat, it would be a functional mechitza, then it can also be the mechitza for the Sukkah. We'll get up to that later in the Masechta. But if you go to the next day, Mosei Shabbat on Sunday, it's not a good wall, and you don't have a Sukkah. So here we're discussing in the context not of just Shabbat, can I make a Sukkah that's going to be for 7 days, it's going to be Shabbat. So even though by Shabbat it might work, by Sukkah it may not work. And that's what's going to happen over here. I have an amud, a pillar that is 10 tefachim high and 7.5 by 7.5. In terms of Shabbat, if you have a pillar in Reshut Rabim that is 10 tefachim high, 4 by 4, that is a Reshut Yachid in the middle of the Reshut Rabim. Because the height functions as the mechitza to make the area in the middle into a Reshut Yachid. So because of that, it will be classified as a Reshut Yachid because the height functions as a mechitza. So what we want to say here is, the same should be true in this sukkah. If you sat on that platform in the middle, you should be in a kosher sukkah. The walls on the side, they're not your walls. You know what are the walls of your sukkah? The walls of the pillar. Just like on Shabbat, those are the mechitzot. For you in the sukkah, you'll sit on top of that platform, on the top of this pillar, and you'll be fine because you have a 7x7 space, that's your minimum shiv sukkah, and you're within the 20 amot of the schach. You're totally fine now. That's what Rabbi suggests over here. So I talk vah me'esrim ama ubana ba'amud shuvah sarat vachim yesh bo hechsher sukkah savar Rabbi le'meimar. So again, Rabbi says, let me extrapolate. God asik mechitzata. Like we say in Shabbat, God asik means take the walls, asik, and raise them. So the height of the walls, we just keep, once they're over 10 tefachim, it's as if they reach the sky, and it's as if you have walls even on the top of the platform, not just on the side of the platform. Amalei Rava. Rava again says to Abai, it's a good idea, but doesn't work over here. There's a technical problem here, which is, Bina mechitzot anikarot veleka. Sukkah is not just about halachic mechitzot, it's about physical mechitzot. In the sukkah, you need to see the mechitzot. You need to be able to feel that you have walls around you. You can't just have halachic walls. You have to have walls that are visible. And over here, yes, you have halachic walls, but you don't have mechitzot ha-nikarot, that are visible walls. Now, again, if you have a wall that's 10 tefachim high, we'll say that it goes up to the shamayim. You don't have to worry about that. Then if the schach is above it, the wall itself doesn't have to touch the schach. Because we say, good asik, that the wall continues up, and it's as if it touches the schach. Because there you have a physical wall that you can see, plus it's a halachic wall, then it works. But over here, when you only have a halachic wall, but not a physical wall that you can see, that doesn't work in terms of a wall of the sukkah. Yeah, but Dovin Akuma, you wouldn't need the Amud. The Amud wouldn't have to be 10 tefachim high. Right? Dovin Akuma would work here, but the point of the Gemara is not to use Dovin Akuma because they're saying that it's 10 tefachim high, but more than 4 Amot away from the sidewalls. Since it's more than 4 Amot away from the sidewalls, Dovin Akuma is out of the picture. They want to suggest that the 10 tefachim itself should function as a mechitzot, and that's where Rava says it doesn't work. You're right. If it's within 4 Amot of the walls, then you're back to the case by the Itztaba, which is that Dovin Akuma will work. Now, whether you can use Dovin Akuma combined with other heterim, the Ran says that you can't put Dovin Akuma together with other heterim. For instance, your schach is on your sukkah, and it doesn't reach the walls. If it's less than 3 tefachim away from the walls, then it's kosher schach, because that's lavud, so you apply lavud. But the Ran says is you can't utilize Dovin Akuma plus the less than 3 tefachim lavud together. You're using 2 halachot to Moshe Mitzrayim. It is in Dovin Akuma plus lavud of less than 3 tefachim. So the Ran says that you cannot do that in your sukkah. So if you have a vertical wall Then you use on the horizontal, you say it's a dofen aguma, but then your kosher schach is three tvachim, less than three tvachim away. There's an airspace, and then less than three tvachim away is your kosher schach. Then you're trying to combine dofen aguma and lavud. The Ran says it doesn't work. Halachically, we generally choshish for that Ran not to combine the two items. Over there, the Ran says that you can't combine those two halachot, the Moshe Mitzinai. Independently, you can use each one, but you can't use them together. Right? Not everybody agrees, but in general, we're choshish for that Ran not to combine those two halachot, the Moshe Mitzinai. Torah Banan. Na'atz arba'a kundesin. Place four pillars. Sikei chagaban. And you put schach on top of them. You basically create a gazebo. For that gazebo, you put schach on top of it. You have four pillars. Put schach on top of it. That's your sukkah. Rabbi Yaakov Machshir. Rabbi Yaakov says, good sukkah. Chamim poslim. Chamim say no good. So now, Amar Rav Huna. Machloket asfat hagag. This is when you built it on your roof. So you built these four pillars on your roof. At the edges of the roof. So because the Rabbi Yaakov Savar Amrinan Godasik Mechitzata. You say that the walls of the house continue upward and they become the walls of the sukkah. Rabbanan Savar Lo Amrinan Godasik Mechitzata. And the Chachamim say that it doesn't work. Basically, it's Rabbi Yaakov is like Abaye's Havamino that it should work. And the Rabbanan are like Robo who says it doesn't work. The Godasik works. That's because when you put these four pillars up, you put them at the edges of the roof. So now your schach is sitting using the walls of your house below as the walls of the sukkah. Aval be'emtza. Gag. If it was in the middle of the roof, divya kol psula. Everybody agrees that it doesn't work because you don't have walls. Without walls, you don't have a sukkah. That's the way that Rav Huna suggests the machloket exists. Rav Nachman Amar says no. Be'emtza gag machloket. The machloket actually is in the middle of the gag. If you put this type of gazebo up in the middle of your gag, then Rabbi Yaakov says good. Chachamim say no good. Ibailuhu. Be'emtza gag machloket. Avosfat gag divya kol shera. When Rav Nachman says that in the middle of the roof is the machloket, what happens if you reach the edges of the roof? Do the Chachamim agree to Rabbi Yaakov in that case? Odelma ben zu machloket. Or in both instances is a machloket. Take Gudumar has no conclusion. We don't know what the Chachamim's position will be when you reach out to the edges of the roof. Over that basically they're disagreeing with Rav's conclusion that Rav Nachman is saying that you can have good asik function for the sukkah, unlike what Rava concluded before. Now the Gemara says, Meitve, Na'atz dadav kundesin ba'aretz, sikeich al-gaban. So he put four pillars in the ground, and then he put schach on top of them. Rabbi Yaakov machshir, Chachamim poslim. So Rabbi Yaakov says it's kasher, the Chachamim says it's pasul. Here it's obvious where this placement is. This is the equivalent of ha'aretz tekem sadag dami. When he says it on the aretz, it means that you're on ground. When you're on ground, there's no other good asik that we're speaking about. We're talking about the equivalent of putting this up in the middle of the roof. V'kamachshir Rabbi Yaakov. And it's clear here that Rabbi Yaakov says, Hashir, t'yufta d'Rav Huna t'yufta. This is a strong question against Rav Huna's position. This undermines his position that b'emtza gag divya kol is psula. Because here we have a case that's equivalent to emtza gag, and Rabbi Yaakov is saying it's kasher. V'od, b'emtza hu d'pligi, al svata gag divya kol k'shera. What I would imply from this Tanaic work as well is that the argument is only b'emtza gag. The fact that they gave you the case on the aretz shows you that's where they argue. But had it been on the edges of a roof, like on top of the roof, but on the edges, that the Chachamim would agree that it's k'shera. Let's say this is a problem for Rav Huna in both aspects. Number one is b'emtza gag, they argue. And number two is on the edge of the gag, divrei hakol is k'shera. As opposed to what he says, that's where the machloket is. Now, why would you want a second question, Rav Huna? You already created a problem for Rav Huna. Rav Huna's case doesn't stand. The Gemara does this in many places. Even if I find a solution to one of these questions, the other question will upend his position. So I want to have two strong questions here. Amlecha Rav Huna, no, pligi b'emtza gag. Huadin asfat gag. Just like they argue here on the emtza, they're going to argue on the outside. So then why did it only give you a case of emtza gag? V'adik amifligi b'emtza gag. Odiacha kocho de Rabbi Yaakov. To teach you how strong the position of Rabbi Yaakov is, that he's machshir, even in a case where there are no good asik, where there are no walls there. Tafil b'emtza gag, nami machshir, that even in the middle of the roof, he would be machshir. So right, I cannot make the deal that you wanted out of that case, because there's a reason to state the case in this manner, to teach you that Rabbi Yaakov says it's kosher. Even when there's no walls there whatsoever, it's kosher. So in order to teach you that, huge chiddush, it taught you the case. But it would be true also if you put it on the edges of the roof. But put it on the edges of the roof, that's not a big chiddush for Rabbi Yaakov. Then he's saying, good asik, that's not as big a halachic chiddush. Now, Tara Banan. Atzar ba kundusim ba'aretz v'sikecha gaban, Rabbi Yaakov omer, v'olin kol she'ilu yichakaku v'yachloku v'yesh ben tefach lekan, v'tefach lekan, Nidoni mishum dumad. So now Rabbi Yaakov introduces his position. It can't be that the sukkah has no walls. You just put up pillars, no walls here, and you put up schach, and you have a kosher sukkah. It's clear that Rabbi Yaakov believes that something is functioning as the wall. Right? Later on in the Masechta, we'll have something called piatikra yored v'sutein. It means that if you have a tefach of a cross beam between the two pillars, that's called piatikra yored v'sutein. We had that in Erevin as well. It's as if the edge of the roof comes over and then drops down and creates a mechitza. So over there, maybe we could have said it was a kosher sukkah because of piatikra yored v'sutein, which is a sugya later on. But over here, we don't have the piyatikra. So what is functioning as the walls here? So Rabbi Yaakov says it's the pillars themselves that function as the walls. As long as the pillars themselves are a tefach by a tefach, then we look at the pillars as the wall. They're a tefach by a tefach, then tefach long, tefach wide, then those tefachim, that tefach on each side, that is the wall. He says all you need to be a wall is a tefach on each side. That's what we call dumad. Dumad is from Erevin, if you remember. It comes from the word dio or duo. Amud, two amudim. I mean, it's as if you have two walls. The amud function in two directions. In each direction, there's a tefach, and it functions in a wall in each direction. In Shabbat, you need a minimum of an amah in each direction in order to function as a dumad. That's by the pasei biriot, by the well that's in the Reshut Rabim. If you want to create an area around it to bring the animals in and to feed them and have them drink and draw the water out, you put up these pasim, you put up these boards. There you need a dumad. That dumad has to be an amah by an amah in order to function as a dumad, not just a tefach by a tefach. Over here by sukkah, the din is a tefach by a tefach, because by Shabbat they were machmir by the mechitzot, because there it's in the Reshut HaRabim, you're trying to create a Reshut HaYachid, it's a much more significant type of wall that you need in order to demarcate it from the Reshut HaRabim. But here he says dumad. Now Rashi points out the case here must be that you're talking about a circular pillar. Because if you're talking about a square, you wouldn't need to have here yachboku ve'yachloku, that you carve into it and you split it. You would simply need to split it, because it would be, as Rashi says, like our marzev, like our gutters. They're actually describing their gutters are not built like ours, like round. Their gutters were a V-shaped. It was two pieces of wood like a V, basically a dumad. So he says, if you have that, you don't need to be chokek, you don't need to do this chokek, you just yachloku. The two sides of the two walls, you wouldn't need the chokek. Chokek is because it was circular. Since it's circular, you have to carve off the edges of the circle and see if you have a tefach by a tefach inside of it. Can you inscribe a square inside of this circle? Daf Zayin will get to this within the sukkah itself, for a circular sukkah. But the same would be true here. We did these sugyot in Eruvin as well. If you can get a square inside the circle, inscribe it of tefach by tefach, then that circular pillar can function as a dumad. Right, but it doesn't have to be a tefach thick. You can have a thin beam that goes across. It's not a tefach thick. So then you don't have piatikra yored v'sultein. So you have a frame around it, but it's not a frame that's big enough to be classified as piatikra yored v'sultein. If it's a tefach thick, then you enter into a new world, a piatikra yored v'sultein. That might have a different din than what we're speaking about here. But you have to have a frame to hold up the schach, but that frame can be very thin and not qualify for piatikra yored v'sultein. So that's what he says here. That's what the Gemara says here, that if you have the circular pillars, if you can be yachkoku, you slice off the edges of the circle, meaning you inscribe a square inside of it. V'yachloku, and you split it. V'yeshben tefach lakan, tefach lakan. You have a tefach in each direction. Then, nidoni mishum diumad. Then they have a din of diumad. V'imlav, ain't nidoni mishum diumad. Shayai, Rabbi Yaakov Omer. Diumde sukkah tefach. The walls of the sukkah only have to be a tefach, meaning these pillars at the side, the dual wall, only has to be a tefach in each direction. Chachamim omrim, what is a sukkah min haTorah? Ad sheyu shtayim kehilchatam. You need two full walls, ushlishit afilu tefach, and a third wall that is a minimum of a tefach. We'll get to this. It's a minimum of a tefach, at least, that's less than three tefachim away from the other walls. It creates four tefachim on that side, which is the rove of a wall that would be kasher for sukkah. Sukkah, minimum sukkah is 7x7. Four is the minimum. So if you get up to four tefachim of a halachic wall on the third side, that's enough. We'll learn this in the Gemara later on, how they get to this. You need two physical walls, and a third halachic wall that is four tefachim. How do you create a halachic wall? You have a area that's a little over a tefach, that's less than three tefachim away from the wall, that gives you an area that's four tefachim, gives you the halachic wall. So the chamim require physical walls. So that's why they say when you put up on the pillars, you have nothing. You don't have walls here. You're missing the two walls and the third wall. So now, nothing doing. Rabbi Yaakov says, no, a wall is a tefach by a tefach. Dumad works over here. Since dumad works, you have a halachic sukkah, and that's why it's kasher when it's in the emsa. All right, I'd like to continue, but unfortunately this Gemara goes way into tomorrow's daf about discussing why is the minimum for a sukkah 10 tefachim, and it's also the halachic requirement anywhere in Shas, like by Shabbat, that 10 tefachim is a minimum in terms of creating a separate area or a separate entity for mechitzot. So where do we learn that 10 tefachim out from? That is the next sugya in the Gemara. Okay, we'll stop over here.